Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I'm getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know. I shake this world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay on the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just a fast starting tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sitting there, sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a little reaction.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
If you're considering the purchase of a new car and you're leaning toward buying an electric vehicle, it's smart to do some research before you make a deal. We'll talk to a consumer expert who has concerns about EV reliability.
They have 79% more problems than just a basic internal combustion engine car. You shouldn't buy the first new technology that comes out. Let them work the kinks out.
Then, research shows that spending on mental health services for kids and teens has risen since the COVID pandemic first began.
Before COVID, telehealth for children with mental health conditions was almost non-existent. After COVID, we see basically an explosion in the use of telehealth.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's show. InfoTrack begins right after this.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Progressive asks, what do a middle school slumber party?
Let's stay up all night.
Yeah!
A sleep-deprived girl. An early morning paper route. And a poorly thrown rolled-up newspaper have in common?
Hey, my window!
They can become a fast-breaking news story.
Sorry, Mr. Thompson!
Bundle your home and auto with Progressive for great savings and round-the-clock protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years.
Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A survey shows that owners of electric vehicles are reporting far more problems than those of conventional cars or hybrids. Here with more, InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Steve Ellick, who leads the Auto Data Analytics Program at Consumer Reports. Steve, your survey yielded owners' information based on more than 330,000 vehicles. That covered 20 potential problem areas such as engine, transmission, electric motors, leaks, and infotainment systems. But before we discuss the problems, please define the differences between hybrids, plug-in hybrids, and electric vehicles.
Yeah, of course. So a hybrid, that is basically a gas engine that is connected to a battery pack, and they hand off to each other to achieve the maximum fuel economy. So a hybrid is continually monitoring the electric versus the gas and swapping between those two and handing them off to each other. Now, a plug-in hybrid is similar to a hybrid, but there's also an opportunity where you can plug in to any typical electric charger that will give you a small amount of range, probably 20, 30 miles on pure electric range, as if it were a electric vehicle. After that, it switches over to the hybrid situation that I explained before, where sometimes it's using the battery, sometimes it's using the gas engine. And then an EV, an electric vehicle, or a battery electric vehicle, that's the full on, there is no hydrocarbon gas on board, no diesel, nothing like that. Purely run by electricity from the battery packs that are in the vehicle, and you use a charger to charge up that vehicle.
And how did each vehicle category compare to the standard gasoline-only cars?
In terms of reliability, we were able to split these out this year, and a electric vehicle, full battery electric vehicle, is 79% less reliable. So they have 79% more problems than just a basic internal combustion engine car. A hybrid, on the other hand, is actually better, and you would think that's counterintuitive, that it has 26% less problems than internal combustion engine alone vehicles. You would think that it would be the opposite because there's actually more components on board, so there would be more to go wrong. But hybrids are predominantly made by some more reliable automakers. There are a lot of Toyota hybrids out there which are super reliable. The Toyota Prius has been out for more than 25 years. They've perfected this hybrid technology, and for that reason, it's reliable. We at Consumer Reports were always saying how you shouldn't buy the first new technology that comes out. Let them work the kinks out.
Now, why do you believe the plug-in hybrid scored the worst?
Plug-in hybrids, they have 146% more problems than internal combustion engine-only cars. There's a number of reasons, but really, that's the new technology, is that charging system. That's something new where it's not just a hybrid motor that's handing off between gas and electric. There's also that charging system. It's almost like an EV with a gas motor, so there are more components involved. And there are some less reliable vehicles that tend to be plug-in hybrids. I mean, we have the Volvo XC60, which is already unreliable in our ratings. Then you add the XC60 plug-in hybrid, and it's even less reliable. It has many problems that the XC60 has, but it also has the electric charging and electric battery issues on top of that. So that's the trend that we're seeing.
We're visiting with Steve Ehrlich, leader of the Auto Data Analytics Program at Consumer Reports. This concerns a survey of owners on what types of vehicles score higher or lower on reliability. Now, Steve, you do suggest consumers not necessarily avoid an entire category of vehicle based on the reliability score, or that you don't gravitate toward the higher score just based on the overall score. For example, the hybrid scoring the highest, you don't necessarily gravitate toward a hybrid vehicle. It works both ways, doesn't it? It's got to be an individual decision based on each individual car.
Absolutely. We say this all the time. Every single model has their own story. So hybrids as a whole tend to be less problematic than an internal combustion engine vehicle. But then you look at the Ford F-150 hybrid. That's like a power hybrid. It's a lot of equipment in that truck, and it actually proves to be less reliable than the gas-only Ford F-150. So there's always an exception to the rule. On the other side, plug-in hybrids are less reliable than internal combustion engine vehicles. But then you have the Toyota RAV4 Prime, which is superb, excellent reliability. So each model has a story in and of itself, really. And you have to look at those individual things to figure out what car is best for you.
We mentioned infotainment systems as a problem area. Do electric cars' electric lines typically fail to serve the infotainment systems, or do the systems themselves cause the troubles?
When you're looking at infotainment systems, the in-car electronics, that tends to be a little bit different than the actual powertrain issues that you see with the electric vehicles. You can see infotainment issues with a gas car, the same that you see infotainment issues with the electric vehicle. That's more of a trend where, as you see more technology packed into the cars these days, what's happening is that there are more issues there. There are screen freezes and screens going blank. In some cases, the infotainment system hardware has to be replaced. So that can happen to any type of car.
And as we talk about repairs, I'm wondering if there's data on which category of vehicles stay problem-free longer than other types.
It would be a great question to look into that once we get more data on electric vehicles. You know, electric vehicles are so new that we don't really have that much older data on them to see that longer-term trend that we see with the internal combustion engine vehicles or the hybrids, which have been around for 25 years. But, you know, time will tell, and we at Consumer Reports think in the future, electric vehicles probably will get more reliable as these kinks are worked out. The same way gas vehicles have gotten more and more reliable in terms of their powertrain, their engines, as time has gone on and they've had time to improve.
And from a much broader perspective of all types of cars, what brands rise to the top in terms of reliability?
Our brand rankings as a whole, Toyota and Lexus are at the top. They are consistently top performers in the brand rankings, and that's because Lexus and Toyota, when they redesign a model, it's usually a conservative redesign. There's less technology that is being thrown into these vehicles. It's almost like a refresh of the last generation and say, okay, if things are working properly, let's improve it incrementally, but not go out and completely change everything, which is just a recipe for being less reliable. In the top 10 of our brand rankings, 7 of those brands are Asian automakers. That seems to be the region of the world that is producing the more reliable cars as a whole.
So while Consumer Reports found that electric vehicles as a group are less reliable, you said there are some exceptions to each rule. Are some EV brands more reliable than others?
As a whole, Tesla is more reliable, but Tesla's like a tale of two automakers. They have the Model 3, the Model Y. These are high volume models that are improving in reliability, and they actually have less build quality issues than in the past. So Tesla as a whole is more reliable because of those. The Model S and the Model X, less so. That's kind of their test bed where Tesla throws in all the new technology, and they tend to be unreliable year after year. But as a whole, Tesla produces the more reliable vehicles, as well as the Hyundai Ioniq 6 is quite reliable this year as well.
Very interesting conversation. Steve Ehrlich with Consumer Reports, thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your study.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, mental health spending for young people is rising. That story, coming up.
You're listening to InfoTrack,
More after this.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Progressive presents an ad from Mom.
Hello? Is it on? Oh, okay. Bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive and get protection round the clock. Round the clock? Does this generation even understand what round the clock means? But don't go, I'm just saying, because don't come to me when they ask for to do this over, because the kids won't get it.
Get round the clock protection when you bundle and save with Progressive. It's easier than getting your mom to make this radio ad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
The cost of mental health services for children and adolescents has increased in recent years. Telehealth services have helped fill the need. With this story, here's InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Mariah Kalman, the study's lead author and a policy researcher at RAND, a nonprofit research organization. Dr. Kalman, what were you seeking to learn in this study?
We wanted to understand how telehealth and in-person treatment for children with mental health conditions changed with COVID and the increase in telehealth that we knew that happened as a result of COVID, and we wanted to look to see how utilization and spending for children with mental health conditions changed over time once we saw COVID. And then even after the immediate impact of COVID on the healthcare system subsided, we wanted to see how those changes persisted over time.
You found some pretty big changes. So tell us about the highlights of your study.
Before COVID, basically telehealth for children with mental health conditions really wasn't there. It was almost non-existent. Families and children did not utilize telehealth for their treatment of their mental health conditions. And we're talking about children with the most common mental health conditions like ADHD, anxiety disorders, adjustment disorder, etc. And after COVID, we see basically an explosion in the use of telehealth for these children with these mental health conditions. It rose over 3,000% in the immediate aftermath of COVID in the first about 7 months after the initial national shutdown. And then after that, in sort of what we're calling a post-COVID period, the utilization and spending for telehealth continued. It subsided a little bit. The immediate surge was a little bit tempered, but it persisted over time until August 2022, which is when our data collection ended. In that same time period, we also saw overall increases in utilization and spending for children with mental health conditions for telehealth and in-person visits combined. And at the end of our observation period, we see about a 20 to 25% increase in overall utilization and spending.
I realize your study didn't cover this, but what do you see were the driving forces behind these increases?
Well, We hypothesize that it's probably a variety of things. One thing is that the shutdown, the national shutdown because of COVID, caused kids to be home from school, which is where a lot of kids get their treatment for mental health conditions. So traditionally, schools provide a lot of those treatment services. Since kids couldn't access those services at schools, they had to turn to a different service delivery. And since, you know, in-person engagement wasn't available, at least in the immediate COVID aftermath, telehealth was the modality that students and kids could access. So that was one of the reasons. We know that the effect of COVID and the shutdowns on children in particular was pretty profound. We know that more kids were diagnosed with mental health conditions, and kids with existing mental health conditions faced exacerbations with stress, anxiety. So I think all of those factors sort of have contributed to what we're seeing. We looked at the five most common diagnoses: ADHD, anxiety disorder, major depressive disorder, adjustment disorder, and conduct disorder. Those were the five most common that we had access to. They were largely consistent over time, and they were largely consistent with each other. So we did not really see any differences in how treatment for one of those diagnoses differed than the other. The figures that are published in the paper really highlight how the changes that you see between each diagnosis really are parallel, in the sense that as one increases, the other increases. So telehealth didn't really differ for any of the diagnoses, like profoundly for any of the diagnoses. There are some subtle changes that our regression models did pick up, but they're largely consistent over time.
It was obviously a necessity during the lockdowns, but what are the pluses and minuses of telehealth care for mental health, especially for young people?
I think there are some definite advantages. It gives access to some patients who may not have good enough access otherwise. So maybe they need supplemental care to what they're getting from their school services. Obviously, for patients and for populations who are in rural areas, telehealth definitely, you know, expands access. I don't think anyone would argue that telehealth is a replacement for in-person care. I definitely think it's a supplement. Obviously, it depends on the patient. It depends on the age of the patient. It might not be appropriate for all patient populations. I think telehealth is definitely here to stay. I think you'll hear that argument not just for mental health care, but for other sectors of healthcare, for adults as well. What we're finding is that healthcare quality for telehealth seems, even though there haven't been that many studies that have looked at that, but the studies that have seemed to demonstrate that the quality of care for patients who get telehealth is similar to the same quality that they get via in-person care.
Did you detect any trends or changes in that period when COVID vaccines became available and were widely in use?
We did see that once the COVID vaccine came into, you know, more wide use, that telehealth access did subside and more people reverted back to in-person care. Now, it didn't go away by any means, but the surge in telehealth started to temper, sort of level off. But at that same time, what we also see is a continuous rise in overall utilization. So some patients return to their in-person visits or their regular sort of in-person utilization patterns, but then utilization and spending continued to increase even after vaccines became available. So that tells us is that people continue to access the system. They still need a treatment for mental health, and maybe the return to in-person availability allowed them to get even more treatment.
I'm going to ask you to speculate a bit here. Do you foresee these big jumps in overall mental health costs for kids as something that's here to stay and perhaps continuing to grow, or do you think things will gradually go back to more of the historic norm?
That's a really tough question to answer. We're seeing a lot of studies come out recently that tell us that more and more patients are being diagnosed, more and more children are being diagnosed with these types of common mental health conditions. So part of it is that more children are utilizing the system, more families are utilizing the system. It's becoming more normal to seek out a diagnosis and treatment for mental health, which is a good thing. Whether or not it will continue at the same trajectory, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure anyone would be able to tell that. Obviously, you know, events in the world that are going on right now can confound these trends. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see as we analyze more data and look onward from when our data ended in August of 2022 to see what the more recent trends are.
And finally, do you have any advice for parents in terms of recognizing when to seek help for their child?
So I'm not a clinician. I am an epidemiologist by training and a policy researcher at RAND currently. So I would say that parents have to rely on their pediatricians and their primary care providers to understand what should trigger assessments and treatment for mental health conditions. But I think parents are obviously utilizing the system, as we've shown, and definitely did that during COVID and continue to do that.
Mariah Kalman, policy researcher at RAND. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Annie Corzin is an actress, comedian, author, and social media personality. You may remember her from the TV show Seinfeld, appearing in the role of Doris Klumpus, and she's author of The Book of Annie. You are living proof that age is just a number. You're in your 80s now. You are a popular personality on TikTok. You contribute to NPR's Morning Edition, the New York Times, the LA Times, and you call all this your third act. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm as amazed as anybody else. It's all, as I say in the title of the book, totally accidental. I'm busier, more active, more productive now than I've ever been in my life because a young friend suggested that I go on TikTok, which I thought was the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard, because TikTok, I figured, is for young girls putting on makeup and shaking their booties. But my 30-year-old friend said, no, you'll go viral. And she was absolutely right. I'm not sure I understand it, but I'm very grateful for it.
What benefits have you found in doing social media?
I've discovered a whole new audience, actually. As a performer and as a humorist, I've always figured that my target audience was kind of people like me, older, urban, educated women. And much to my surprise, my TikTok audience turned out to be kids, the kids that stopped me on the street, of all colors, of all religions. And when I say to them, well, what is it? What is it that you like about me? I'm not modest. I want to know why they love me. And I love the love. And they use a word I don't quite understand. They say, because I'm authentic. I'm not sure what that means.
What advice would you give to somebody in their 70s, their 80s, their 90s, who wants to try something new or pursue a passion?
I like that phrase that you use, pursue a passion. But basically, I think the most important thing as we get older is to engage with younger people. I don't understand, like, those senior retirement places where you're with a bunch of other old people like yourself, you know, everybody waiting to die. I find I'm stimulated by the younger people. I learn from them, and they seem to get the same from me. And that's actually how I got onto the TikTok thing, because of my relationship with a 30-year-old friend. So I think that's really important for both ages. There should be a lot more mixing up of generations. And actually, there's a new fashion interest. There's something in fashion called coastal grandma, which is a certain look, a certain classy, cashmere and linen and knit look. Now, never in the history of the world has grandma and fashion be used in the same sentence. So I think that younger people are starting to look to older women for wisdom and for life instructions.
What would you say the role of humor plays in the realities of getting older?
There's an old saying in showbiz that comedy is a way of turning your pain into money. Now, I'm not a comedian. I think of myself more as a humorist because some of my stories get a little emotional. But I think that as you get older, there are certain things you have to deal with, the most painful one being loss. Loss of family, loss of old friends, things around you change. You lose your favorite cafe, your favorite local cafe. And I think that looking at it with a sense of humor can kind of be a healing thing. It can help heal. It can help deal with some of the bad stuff that happens as you age.
Do you have any personal strategies to stay physically healthy and keep your energy up?
I do kind of the stuff you're supposed to do. I try not to eat a lot of meat. My husband and I do an online Pilates class twice a week. We try to walk. We try to do some kind of workout every day. I think we have to be aware of all that stuff. It's silly to neglect all that stuff.
Well, you are living proof that age is just a number. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners as we wrap this up?
My final thoughts for the listeners are that we should practice kindness. We should practice forgiveness. One of my stories ends with, if you want to cheer yourself up and you're having a bad day, call someone who doesn't know that you're angry at them. Make a friendly call to someone who's kind of you cross off your list. You might be surprised at the results.
Well, very nice. Annie Corzin, and her book is, easy to remember, The Book of Annie. Annie, thank you so much for joining us today. This was great.
My pleasure.
That's it for another weekly installment of InfoTrack. If you'd like to learn more about our guests and topics, our online address is infotrackradio.com. Our internet services are courtesy of pear.com. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack contributors Gina Tedesco and Roy Mackey. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. Thanks for joining us. We hope you'll be with us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.
Attention.
Attention all employees of all other radio stations.
Caught you listening again. We understand.
But we're not going to hire you.
Yeah, but, wait, huh?
The Valley's Fun Music, 105.7 CFW.
Yeah.
1057 CFW.
CFW.
Oh,
As much a part of the Valley as Trinity Equestrian Center and the Children's Center, this is 105.7 CFW, the Valley's farm music. CFW.
Sheets. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any flurries ending, we'll see cloudy skies and lower 30s in the afternoon. Plenty of clouds in the overnight with lows in the middle 20s. Clouds in mid-30s Monday. We'll see a chance of snow developing late Monday night. It'll carry over into Tuesday. Currently 26 degrees.
CFW. CFW.
We're glad you're enjoying the Valley's fun music on 105.7 CFW. Did you know that there's a second brand new station in town? Yeah. When you're in the mood to talk about the local issues that matter to the Valley and all of Wisconsin, you're going to want to tap into our sister station, 93.5 The Tap. For local issues and information, it's 93.5 The Tap. And for the Valley's fun music, keep on listening to 105.7 CFW. Go ahead, spread the word.
Identify yourself.
WCFW-FM and WCFW-HD1, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the entire Chippewa Valley.
Pacific Media Radio Station.
FM has always stood for fine music. And now, FM stands for fun music, too. This is the Valley's fun music. 105.7.
CFW.
Chippewa Valley.